Politics, sports, entertainment? Yeah, we've got that. It's WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise, 7:43 in the morning. Rob Setter, a fabulous producer, fabulouser he could never be. In our studios now, movie Mike McGranahan, professional movie critic. His website, aisleseated.com. His appearance is always sponsored by the Campus Theater, Lewisburg, campustheater.org for their website. Movie Mike, you brought with you today your review of Dream Horse.
The title Dream Horse makes it sound like the movie will be a romantic comedy about a woman who falls in love with a horse. Thankfully, that's not even remotely close. Instead, this is the true story of Dream Alliance, a thoroughbred who competed in the Welsh Grand National. Toni Collette stars as a bartender who buys and breeds a mare with the intention to train its foal how to race. That costs money, though, so she creates a syndicate where a bunch of people in her small town chip in money to own an equal stake in the animal. It's kind of like when everyone in your office chips in to buy a lottery ticket, except instead of potentially winning millions of dollars, they get part of a horse, hopefully closer to the front end. They don't really know much about horse racing, but they dream of competing in all the most elite races anyway. Dream Horse follows a very distinct underdog formula that involves training sequences, a career-threatening injury, and of course the big race at the end. And you know what? It totally doesn't matter that it's completely predictable. That's because Toni Collette gives a superb performance, showing the passion her character has for Dream Alliance. It's also true that the story is fundamentally uplifting. How could anyone with a heart resist such a happy, optimistic tale of triumph? You don't even have to like horse racing to like Dream Horse. You just need to like being made to feel good. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 3 winner's circles.
What? Just 3?
Yeah, I mean, it's very predictable. It's very predictable, but it makes you feel good.
But it's kind of fun. Well, I guess like a roller coaster ride is predictable. You're going to go up and down and get weightless at times and go around sharp curves. So
right.
Okay. So, Toni Collette, dig more into this engrossing performance, really.
She's just great. She's great in everything that she does. And what's interesting in this movie is that her character is the one who comes up with this idea. And so she's got this proprietary feeling about the horse. But everybody owns an equal stake. And so that creates some interesting moments of drama where she wants to call the shots and everybody else is like, well, wait a minute, you don't own any more of this horse than we do. And she really brings out some of the edges in the character. I think a lot of actresses would have shied away from that. They wouldn't have wanted to appear unlikable on screen, but Toni Collette leans into that and plays a character who does have some rough edges, and she's really terrific.
Is she working at Walmart in the trailer? I could see that.
She's a bartender in a pub.
Oh, okay. I'm blending here or something. Okay. All right, so you have this movie, and it's predictable. So is this going to become like a sort of a cult classic, as just a great horse film that we'll remember for a long time?
If people discover it, I think it could be a sleeper. Yeah, it could be one of those movies that really grows in stature. It opens today in theaters nationwide, including our local theaters, and it's just a feel-good movie. I really do think it'll catch on if people will give it a shot, so I'm glad to let people know about Dream Horse.
Okay, 3
winner circles.
Winner circles. Okay, super. All right, thank you. And that is Dream Horse. That's out right now. There's another movie out. Trailer looks interesting. Spiral. Tell us about that.
Yeah, this is kind of the reboot of the Saw series. I am not a fan of the Saw movies. I saw the first 3 and hated them so much that I didn't bother with any of the others. But this one I was excited for because it stars Chris Rock and Samuel L. Jackson, who you would not expect to see in a Saw movie. And this one, I can't say I would really recommend it, but the novelty value of seeing Chris Rock in a Saw movie at least held my attention. So 2.5 stars for Spiral. It's very bloody and gross, as these things always are, needlessly. But, you know, Chris Rock is pretty good in it, and I don't know, there's just something weird about seeing him and Samuel L. Jackson in one of these movies that held my attention. So not a good film, wouldn't quite recommend it, but of the Saw films I've seen, it's my favorite.
Well, and if people like this, and there's a X number of people love the Saw movies for some bizarre reason. Mm-hmm. I can't stand them. But my lovely bride likes them, you know. So I guess she likes to be grossed out. So she may like this. Does this, whatever the appeal is of the Saw movies, this film capitalizes on that?
It's hard to say. I don't know what the fans of the series will think of it, because it has those brutal kills that people expect from the Saw movies, but more of it is about the police work. So it's not quite as heavy on that as the other ones. I really don't know how fans are going to take it. They may like it. They may reject it. Like I said, as somebody who's not a fan of it, this one at least kept me kind of interested. Not really a good movie, but glad I saw it.
Okay. Yeah, I saw the trailer and I thought, well, it doesn't have that same it almost takes endurance to get through it, even if you're enjoying it. So it doesn't have that same draggy,
right,
you know, grotesque weight to it.
Right.
I guess.
Pretty reasonably paced. You know,
okay.
It moves along swiftly.
All right. So more of a conventional movie. All right. So Spiral is out. 2.5 is where you are on that out of 4. Charles Grodin died this week. I didn't realize the filmography that he had, but really just, honestly, the only time I really think I ever saw him was on Johnny Carson. About every 6 weeks or so.
Yeah, Charles Grodin was one of my favorites, and he was a comedian. He could do drama too, but mostly known for comedy, and he did slow burns like nobody else. I mean, he was just such a dry wit and so funny in his talk show appearances with Carson, and of course he would go on David Letterman's show and pretend like they were enemies, and it was very funny. But on screen, so many great performances. He co-starred with Robert De Niro in The Great Midnight Run, co-starred with Chevy Chase in Seems Like Old Times. He was the star of The Heartbreak Kid, which is a classic comedy. Just so many great movies and great performances from him. And Charles Grodin was one of those people where not every movie he made was phenomenal, but he was never less than fantastic in anything he did. So a real loss from him. He died of bone cancer, bone marrow cancer. So Charles Grodin definitely going to be missed.
All right. So yeah, that was something. I saw that this week. And in fact, they used to pay tribute to him, used some of the excerpts of Johnny Carson interviews.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was a big reminder about that. So, yeah, that dry wit. To this day, I never know if he was kidding about certain things he said.
Right.
You never know. You know, like you would say, he would lay out in the sun nude for 7 hours at a time. You know. Well, is he kidding or does he do that? I mean, he could never figure that out.
Right.
All right. There's a movie that's going to be, well, tell people what Knives Out is if they forget.
Yeah, Knives Out came out about 2 years ago. It was a mystery with Daniel Craig and an all-star cast directed by Rian Johnson. Big, big hit movie. So there's now going to be a sequel, Knives Out 2, and they are getting a phenomenal cast. In just the last few days, it's been announced that Dave Bautista from the Guardians of the Galaxy movies will star in it. Edward Norton, Kate Hudson, Janelle Monáe, Leslie Odom Jr., the recent Oscar nominee for One Night in Miami, and the great Catherine Hahn, who is finally getting her due with audiences thanks to her work on WandaVision. So this is an incredibly hip cast for Knives Out 2. I'm very excited for it based on all the great people they've gotten.
And all the same writers and directors and some producers on board?
Yep, and Daniel Craig will be back reprising his role as the detective.
Okay, super. All right. Fantastic. So Knives Out 2, get excited about that. And finally, we just saw this on the overnight wires. Big Screen is Back is a big campaign that's underway. Arnold Schwarzenegger and Matthew McConaughey were among people who kind of gave it a push at an AMC theater on the West Coast. Tell us about that.
Yeah, actor and former governor Arnold Schwarzenegger was one of the surprise guests at a gathering designed to spread the word that it's time to leave home, take a break from streaming, and return to movie theaters now that the COVID-19 crisis has ceased. The presentation was a continuation of the Big Screen is Back initiative, which kicked off at the end of the Academy Awards pre-show with a PSA starring Matthew McConaughey. So Hollywood and some of Hollywood's biggest stars are really urging people to return to movie theaters. Movie theaters need people to come in order to survive. They've been really hard hit by COVID-19, and these celebs want everybody to know that you got to turn out. If you care about the movie-going experience, you got to go and buy a ticket, buy some popcorn, buy some soda, and support AMC and the other chains, and independent theaters like the Campus Theater.
And what's the appeal of the theater? Quantify that, define that if you would.
Well, the screen is bigger, the sound is usually better, and for me, one of the great benefits of it is that you are free of distractions. You know, you're not supposed to pick up your phone. If you're home watching a movie on streaming and somebody texts you, you're likely to pick it up and look at it and respond, whereas in the movie, you put your phone down. You know, there's nobody knocking at your door. Your kids aren't asking you for something. You know, you can just sit and focus on the movie. And to me, that's a real big part of the appeal, just being able to get lost in a movie without those distractions of cell phones and things like that.
Well, it's a shared experience with other moviegoers, too. Is that part of the appeal, or is that not?
I think so, when audiences are respectful. I mean, sometimes you get one of those chuckleheads that likes to talk during the movie. But, you know, you go see a comedy. One of my favorite movie-going experiences was going to see the original Borat, and everybody in the audience was just losing their minds and laughing, and it was such a great communal experience. So, yeah, that is part of it. Or seeing a scary movie and everybody jumping and screaming at the same time.
And in your case, there's no plexiglass screen in front of the movie theater either.
Right, right. We have a plexiglass screen in front of our new television at home because our two-year-old has already destroyed two television sets.
By throwing things?
Yeah, throwing things at the TV is his hobby.
Oh, that's not good. Okay, well, so you got the plexiglass. I'm sure your father had something to do with that.
He installed it.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Wait, what are you going to see next? Your next foray?
Actually, yesterday I screened Cruella, Disney's big new movie that opens next Friday, so I'm going to have a review of that for you then. I'm not allowed to say what I thought of it yet, but I'll tell you next Friday.
Yeah, lots of people talking about it. All right, well, we'll talk about it next week. Thank you so much. Movie Mike McGranahan, professional movie critic, aisleseat.com, his website, Twitter, @aisleseat, and of course his appearances here are always sponsored by Campus Theater Lewisburg.